I'm 15 when Mrs. Nielsen finds a pack of cigarettes in my purse. It's clear when I walk into the kitchen that I've done something to displease her. She is quieter than usual, with an air of injured aggravation. I wonder if I'm imagining it. I try to remember if I said or did anything to upset her before I left for school. The pack of cigarettes, which my friend Judy Smith's boyfriend bought for her at the Esso station outside of town, and which she passed along to me, doesn't even register in my mind. After Mr. Nielsen comes in and we sit down to supper, Mrs. Nielsen slides the pack of Lucky Strikes toward me across the table. I was looking for my green gloves and thought you might have borrowed them. She says, I found this instead. I look at her, then at Mr. Nielsen, who lifts his fork and knife and begins cutting his pork chop into small pieces. I only smoked one to try it, I say, though they can clearly see that the pack is half empty. Where'd you get it? Mrs. Nielsen asks. I am tempted to tell them it was Judy's boyfriend, Douglas, but realize it will only be worse to drag other people in. It was an experiment. I didn't like it. They made me cough. She raises her eyebrows at Mr. Nielsen, and I can tell they've already decided on a punishment. The only thing they can really take away is my weekly Sunday afternoon trip to the picture show with Judy, so for the next 2 weeks, I stay home instead and endure their silent reprobation. After this, I decide that the cost of upsetting them is too much. I don't climb out my bedroom window and down the drain pipe like Judy. I go to school and work in the store and help with dinner and do my homework and go to bed. I go out with boys now and then, always on a double date or in groups. One boy in particular, Ronnie King, is sweet on me and gives me a promise ring. But I am so worried I might do something to disappoint the Nielsens that I avoid any situation that might lead to impropriety. Once, after a date, Ronnie tries to kiss me goodnight. His lips brush mine and I pull back quickly. Soon after that, I give back his ring. I never lose the fear that any day Mr. Sorensen could be on the doorstep, telling me that the Nielsens have decided I'm too expensive, too much trouble, or merely a disappointment, and they've decided to let me go. In my nightmares, I am alone on a train, heading into the wilderness, or in a maze of hay bales, or walking the streets of a big city, gazing at lights in every window, seeing the families inside, none of them mine. One day, I overhear a man at the counter talking to Mrs. Nielsen.
My wife sent me in here to get some things for a basket our church is putting together for a boy who came on that orphan train.
He says,
remember those? Used to come through a while ago with all those homeless waifs. I went to the Grange Hall in Albans once to see him. Pitiful lot. Anyhow, this kid had one misfortune after another, got beat up pretty bad by the farmer who took him in, and now the elderly lady he went to after that has died, and he's on his own again. It's a scandal, sending those poor kids out here on their own, expecting folks to take care of them, as if we don't have our own burdens.
Mm-hmm, Mrs. Nielsen says noncommittally. I move closer, wondering if he might be talking about Dutchie. But then I realize Dutchie is 18 now, old enough to be on his own.